and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So there's an old Native American story about a chief who is talking to a young boy and telling him, have you heard this story before? Of there's this battle inside of me of two wolves. He said that one is good and wishes peace and harmony, and the other is bad and has ego and my selfishness all attached to it, and that this battle raging inside of me is fierce. And he pauses there, and at that point, the little boy that he's talking to says, well, then who wins? And there's this simple response that he gives. He says, you know, the victor is the one I feed. Isn't that pretty powerful? You know, I think that not just with kind of a simple good and bad, kind of like the cartoon angels that sit on shoulders, right, of the angel and demon, but also in so many different things, in so many different ways, it feels like that kind of balance and that tug and pull are in so many places in our lives. And how many times is it that if it's just the one that we give our time and attention to, the one that we feed, would become the one that is the dominant piece of our lives? And so in your bulletin today, our verse for the day comes from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 27, that says, if you search for good, you will find favor, but if you search for evil, it'll find you. Right? It's kind of the same thing. That's kind of like that you know, a Native American story kind of rolled up into one little proverb. But one of the things as I was kind of reading through that this week, kind of every day, looking at that memory verse or looking at that verse of the day, and it's interesting that we have to go searching for that good and we will find the good. But if we go out looking for evil, don't worry, it will find you. Right? Isn't that kind of an interesting twist? That you don't have to look too hard if you are looking for those things that negatively impact you, because they will definitely find their way to your doorstep. And if you have any doubt about that, all you have to do is turn on the news or turn on social media, kind of look at your social media feed for like 3 minutes, and you'll realize that will find you. And so as we begin this new series today, it's a series called Stay Positive. That feels like a good way to start the year. And regardless of resolutions that you have made or thought about or have already given up on, this seems that it will be a good place to kind of start and support one another with this idea and understanding that if we can stay positive, if we can continue to feed that piece of us that is positive, that we will then have not only a stronger 2019, we won't just survive it, but that we can look to see how we might live that abundant life that God has in store for us and supercharge this year in powerful ways in partnership with God. And so as we do that, we're also going to celebrate communion today together, because I feel like that is a way that we can stay positive in this way and look towards, like Mike said, this gift of optimism that we have and being optimistic about what is to come, regardless, like our scripture says, of our past circumstances or our current struggles, that there is something good ahead of us. And so Romans 8 kind of allows us to see this really kind of compacted way that there's this gospel presentation of all the things, man. Like if you grew up in a little bit more traditional kind of background, or you've heard the term the Romans Road, as you kind of walk through this chapter of the ways in which it tells the story of God in this kind of super powerful, concentrated way. But this is such a blessing of a chapter. And so our Monday momentum, so throughout this week then, we encourage you to kind of read it or read it a couple of times and see how the promises or how the reasons why we can stay optimistic are so powerful, and they're just kind of jam-packed into this chapter of the Bible in ways that that kind of are transformational, but we're gonna highlight two today. First and foremost is that we have to remember where we as humanity or we as individuals are coming from, right? And so if we go back, we see that throughout scripture, there was this kind of origin story where God created us and called us humanity very good, being made in the image of God. And then pretty soon after that, there was this decision that we thought that we could choose our way over God's way. Remember, we have to go out and seek that goodness, but sometimes if we kind of rest on our laurels and say, well, maybe if I have a better idea of what my story is than God, that evil will come in and it will find us oftentimes, right? That's where the whole snake and the apple come into play for our story there. But essentially what it means is that when we choose our way over God's way, and we say that the story that we would write is a more abundant life than the one that God would write for us, that breaks relationship, that breaks covenant, that breaks shalom and wholeness. And so then from that point on, when we have broken that relationship, that there is this hopelessness that we have, that through our sin, we have fallen short of the glory that God has in store for us, that is set before us. And so then when we choose our way over God's way, it breaks that relationship. And so one of the first things that we want to remember then that comes from Romans 8 is that through our sin, that we have been forgiven in this eternal security, this eternal gift of forgiveness has been freely offered for us, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Because God is so good, God is going to set that table, God is going to make a way, God is going to make a way back into right relationship that we can't do on our own. It's not about us, it's about God. And so if we look at just even that first little passage that Robert read for us, it says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from sin to death. And in our communion liturgy, it says, you know, we have been freed from the slavery to sin and death, that there is no more, that there is this freedom and liberation that happens that then allows us to fully choose and step into that search for what God might have in store for us, that we have found this freedom from sin and death. And there's this life abundant that happens that goes beyond us just trying to be a good person, right? That there is this gift of knowing that we can try to work and do all the good things, but there is something different in the motivation, in the why, of knowing that there is this gift that has been given to us so freely, that then we live the rest of our lives in response to that. That we go and we feed the sick, feed the hungry, that we heal the sick, that we work towards what God might have in store for us tomorrow and today because of what has been done on our behalf, because of the light of the world coming down at Christmas and then eventually finding its way to the cross. But then there's this gift of knowing that it doesn't depend on us, that we just accept that invitation. We kind of say, all right, I wanna save my spot at the table, and that gift has been freely given. The one other piece that I want to kind of go over today and just remind you of is just to remember who's on your side, because I think that for us is a powerful piece. And so that second chunk of what Robert read for us, it contained these verses. It said, if God is for us, who could be against us? For who would be willing to charge, to make any charges against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. And so even in that, you think, you know, if the creator of the world is on your side, if the one who created all things seen and unseen is in your corner, right? It's not saying that nobody's gonna try to come against you, or it's not gonna say that there's not gonna be bad days. It's not saying that there's not gonna be struggles and hardship and hurt and pain and sorrow and sadness and grieving and all of those things. It's not saying that. But what it is saying is that in comparison, that the one who made the trees and the oceans and all of those just monumental things, really the one who had the power to bring someone back from the dead, if God is in your corner, then does it really matter who's coming against you? Because there is this gift of knowing that if we are following in those footsteps that have been set before us, if we're keeping that covenant, if we're being those folks who are living into that grace of being freed by sin and knowing without a doubt that there is nothing that can separate us from God, in doing those things, Isn't that kind of an empowering thought? Do we forget that often? I forget that oftentimes. That I feel like I am on a I am even surrounded by people. And maybe this is part of my introverted nature, but also knowing that oftentimes I feel really quickly like I have a team around me, and I can go from like 100 to feeling like I am on an island by myself pretty quickly. And forgetting the fact that the creator of the universe is pulling for me, is on my side, and who could stand against the one who made all of it? We let that sink in. Just those two pieces for us. If we remember that we have been forgiven and there is no condemnation in the ones who claim Christ, and then because of that gift of grace, that there is this gift of God being in our corner. Doesn't that kind of set us up for a 2019 that is pretty powerful? That there is something to be optimistic about? That like we say, you know, no matter where you've been or your current circumstances or your anxieties about the future, that the worst thing is never the last thing because of some of the promises that have been kept here, that you have been forgiven and that God is pulling for you day in and day out. Yeah, there's gonna be hard days, but those days, like kind of later in this chapter, it says, but those present circumstances are nothing compared to the glory that God is going to be giving us in that life to come. And so what does this mean? So we have this kind of powerful chapter of the scripture. And so what does that mean when really evil can find us, but we have to go searching for good, and we can find every time, everywhere, a way that we can then be frustrated or poke holes at or do something, and it's 2019, we're 6 days into it. And there might be some pull, right? We have a choice to make. Are we gonna be like the grumpy cat? Right? Oh man, this is actually a calendar. And the mentality of talking about optimism and then knowing that there's this 12-month calendar, and I'm sure there's like daily grumpy cat calendars too, right? But you wake up and you look at your calendar, and it's, if you can't be with the one you love, hate everybody. That's a way to start your morning, right? With the most bitter black cup of sludgy coffee you could find, just drinking the dregs and saying, I'm gonna just hate everybody today. Oh man, I bet that you at the office are just a light to the world, right? Or how about no? That's good too. I feel like if I worked in a cubicle, I might just put that on my cubicle outside though some days. But like, you know, there's this choice that we have to make, and there seems to be this trend, and it's easy to poke holes or to be grumpy or to have that kind of gloom and doom mentality. But really, what does that do besides kind of corrode us from the inside out? But also, I mean, does that fix any problems to say, oh yeah, you need to fix that, or this isn't the way that it should be, or, you know, instead of you know, being those people that are like that grumpy cat, like there's no restoration there, right? But if we're a people of optimism, if we're a people who kind of take those promises seriously of Romans 8, of the people in the community that we see around us, of the Holy Spirit working and moving in, among, and through us that we've seen in the past years, and saying, God isn't just gonna keep going on, but God's gonna magnify what God is doing. And we start to have that mentality of being an optimist, all of a sudden this looks even more ridiculous, right? Because then what we do is, if we start to look at our so what, we see that optimism is a little bit infectious, right? That if you know people, or if you have people in your life who are really good at doing those things that even just kind of bring out the best of you instead of the poison, you kind of gravitate towards them, right? And when you leave, do you have people that when you interact with them, when you rub up against their lives and you share life together, that you leave that with a smile on your face and not really knowing why? Do you have people like that in your life, where you leave a meeting or a Bible study or just work and go, man, life was pretty lousy, but I feel a little bit better. Like, not everything's gone, but man, we could get through this. You know, I had Ben share about the online campus, because really, you know, my natural reaction sometimes, oftentimes, especially when it deals with one area of my job, is to be a little bit more grumpy cat. And so when we heard that we weren't going to get some funding for the online campus, oh man, like Grumpy Cat would have been like, dude, you need to tone it down, okay? Like I was grouchy. And so then I called Ben, we had coffee, and that's the way we solve problems, is that we get a tabletop game and we get coffee and we just plop down and then we play and then we can go, okay, breathe a little bit. He wins every time. So then I get a little humility. And I said, all right, what are we working with now? And it was really interesting to see that if we claim the fact that the story of the online campus went from a really snowy women's retreat weekend where he and I had our kids, knowing that we couldn't have church, going, but we need to do something so that God might be able to move and act. But we can't do it with our kids racing around the house, because that would have been no fun for anyone. And it was that little bit that then has taken us about 3 years now down the line to say that there is this meaningful and vital community that has been created. And just because there has been something that has been taken away, it doesn't mean that everything, that God has stopped acting. So what could we do? And in a way, the thing that had been taken away has then unleashed that way that we need to cling to those promises that God has. And said, all right, so we gotta kind of switch a little bit. Yeah, we can be grumpy, but is that gonna fix anything? Absolutely not. But let's look at the potential about the ways that we can claim that freedom from some of those chains and some of those things that have bound us together. And what could that do to springboard us into that next chapter and that next point of life? And so for us, when we say that we're really excited about what 2019 is gonna bring for that online campus, it's because we've been cultivating this thing for 2 years now. And now we get to unleash it to everybody. How cool is that? And so when we start to have that optimistic mentality, when we start to write down, or when we start to dream a little bit, these God-sized dreams rather than these me-sized dreams or these faith point dreams, and we think about the kingdom-sized dreams, God is gonna do something absolutely powerful. Because what we realize is that above all, you know, we are optimistic because of the promises and the fruit that we have seen in the words of God. And you know, it's no more important than that living word that we celebrate at Christmas and that sets the table for us today, that then we can claim the promises and kind of taste and see, as our communion liturgy says, the goodness of what God has in store.